upholds to recognize you. Recognize me. Speak. Articulate my tongue. Hide me behind the cross. Let the word come alive. Take root within our hearts. I put my face on the floor. Give me more. And I say, Father, I look to the floor. Give me more, because you say, Lord, make myself use of me. You say, the lower I go, the higher I get. I'm going low. Take me high. Oh, bless. Touch and breathe upon the sweet breath of God. Fill us with life anew, that we may think as I was thinking and do as thou must do. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. With the spirit of doubt, we cry, Abba, Father, Rabboni, Adonai. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank you for coming down off the cross. We thank you for coming out of the tomb. We thank you for sitting up on high. We thank you for sitting in the right hand of power. We thank you for coming back. May we be ready. I lift my hands to thee, nor they have one God. If thou wouldst lead to me, Lord, where will I go? In Jesus' name, amen. Open to the Lord. Isaiah 65 and verse 3. Isaiah by many called the fifth gospel because it speaks so much about Christ.
65 and verse 3.
A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face.
Give my brother a mic. I want to say happy Sabbath to Columbus. I want to say happy Sabbath to West Virginia.
Amen.
I want to say happy Sabbath to Florida. Say happy Sabbath to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 65 and verse 3.
A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. That
now notice it says a people that provoke me to what?
Anger.
To my what?
Face. Continually.
If it's saying to my face, that means they know me. If we're in the face of the Lord, that means we have dealings with the Lord. We're the people of the Lord. We interact with the Lord. We pray to the Lord. And the Bible says continuously, they provoke me to anger and they are before my face. These are believers, sisters and brothers. That's provoking God to anger. Are you all listening to me? These are people provoking God to anger because they are always in his face. These are believers that's making them angry. I ask the question, what are the believers doing that's making God angry? Always in my face. You're provoking me to anger. Always in my face. Praising my name, but I'm angry. Babylonian bricks, Zionist stones. Let's break this down. Read.
A people that provoketh me to anger continually.
Go ahead.
My face. That sacrifices in gardens. And burneth incense upon altars of brick.
Now, watch this. They're praising God. They're not praising Zeus.
Come on.
Bear. They're praising the Lord. Did you all hear me?
Right.
They're praising the Lord. The only thing that's offending God in this text is how they're doing it. It's provoking him to anger. Procedure and worshiping God is a mandate, and it means something. How you do it. I said, how you do it. I said, how you do it.
It does matter.
It does matter. If it didn't matter, Sister Jatan, what's the Bible say? You call me Lord, Lord, and so I am. But everybody that called on the name of the Lord and say Jesus in the latter days, he's going to say, depart from me, do iniquity. I don't know you. But they're calling on the name of Jesus. And you know what their response is? Wait a minute. No, 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 no. Wait a minute. I healed in the name of Jesus. I cast out devils in the name of Jesus. I baptized in the name of Jesus. What you talking about? Depart from me. I called men unto salvation in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. Babylonian bricks. Zionist stones. Isaiah breaks this down and says it's the method and procedure that offends the Lord. I got Jesus on my lips all day. I'm praying and I'm sacrificing to the Lord. But it's the method, it's the procedure. It's the how to live that offends him. This is an instruction book. How not to just believe in his name, but how to serve him. And according to scripture, it not only makes a difference, it makes what, everybody? It makes a big difference. Doesn't it, young lady? Doesn't it make a big difference to serve the Lord with your pretty face? Doesn't it? Doesn't it make a big difference?
Say yes.
See? Out of the mouths of babes and little children. Come on. Psalms 138 and verse 2. Psalms 138 and verse 2. Somebody should pick up those nails. Those three nails form the cross. Psalms 138 verse 2. Go ahead and read.
I will worship toward thy holy temple.
There you go. Some of it again.
Worship.
Worship. Go ahead.
And praise thy name for thy loving kindness.
Uh-huh.
And for thy truth.
So we're talking about worship toward the holy temple. Praise thee for thy truth. We're talking about worship and praise. Am I right?
Yes.
Come on, read.
For thou hast magnified thy word.
Then it says, right after worship and praise, it says, for thou hast magnified. Read.
Thy word
above all thy name. What is all thy name? Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says, right? That's what all thy name means. The Bible says his word is above the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If the word was not above God, the Lord would say, Son, I heard your prayer. And in hearing your prayer, I'm going to answer it, and I'm going to let this cup pass. But when Jesus prayed, let this cup pass, the Father says to Gabriel, go down and comfort him and tell him, I told you to drink it. So this is it shall
die.
And you've got to die and be a sacrifice. I'm sorry. I can't waive my requirements. Do you know the Bible says that when the Lord speaks, he says, I will not repent of it. It came out of my lips and I will not repent of it. The soul that said it shall die. That means you can praise God all day long. You can shout and praise God, the loudest one in the church. But then the Lord will look at you and say, you got a loud bark, but you got no bite. You're praising my name, it's on your lips, but your heart is far from me. We're talking about procedure. Say procedure.
Procedure.
So how you do something, the method of how you do something, it does matter. Amen. Come on, Genesis. Let's go to the first book of the Bible where it all started. This may take two sermons. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. And let's pick up at chapter 3. Chapter 11, verse 3. We could read verse 1 and 2, but let's read it verse 3.
Okay. And they said one to another.
Now it says, they said. Can I paint a picture right quick?
Make it plain.
The first 2,000 years was the period of the Antediluvians. The Bible said that they were tall. They were like 15, 16 feet tall. They lived for 900 years. Adam was 935. Methuselah was 969. They were called Antediluvians. But when the flood came, men became shorter and they lived shorter lives. Right after the flood, the Bible says that men began to look to other gods. And they didn't believe what the Lord had said. I give you my rainbow, I will not let it rain again and destroy it. But there was an individual by the name of Nimrod that said, let us build. Let us build a tower. Do you know how the pyramids look? That's how the tower looked. It looked like a pyramid. That's the reason in many countries, including in Mexico, they have pyramids looking pyramid. That's how the Tower of Babel was built. And it was built in sections. When you step back and look at it, it looked like a mountain. But it was man-made. Are you following me?
Come on.
It looked like a mountain, but it was man-made. Now, before he reached, it's been taught in Christendom that a mountain represents nations. But go to Isaiah chapter 2 right quick. Isaiah chapter 2. I'm going to take my time with this, and I might make it 2 or 3. But Babylonian bricks and Zionist stones. It makes a difference how you worship. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's pick it up in verse 2. Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass in the last days.
What, everybody?
Last days.
Are we living in the last days?
Yes.
Go ahead.
That the mountain of the Lord's house.
Now, it's taught that all of these mountains represent what, everybody? Represent what?
Nations.
But the Bible says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house, are you with me? Shall be established in the what?
Top.
Write down in your notes, Ezekiel 43 and verse 12, the Bible says the top of the mountain round about is most holy. So the top of the mountain is what, everybody?
Most holy.
Most holy. So the Lord's house in the last days should be at the what?
Top of the mountain.
That means mountain represents religion, but God's house will be at the top of the
mountain.
The Bible said 104,000 stood at the
top of Mount Zion.
And when they stood at the top of Mount Zion, they stood before the
Lamb,
throne of
God.
So if standing at the top of the mountain, you stand before the throne of God, well then the mountain is like the sanctuary, and the bottom of the mountain is the brazen altar, and the brazen altar is the earth, according to the Bible. So the court area is earth, and the bottom of the mountain is earth. But when you press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, you order your footsteps in His word, you start walking through the sanctuary, the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, the what?
Most holy place.
And you stand before the And you stand on top of
Mount Zion.
So standing on top of Mount Zion is the same as standing before the throne of God. So everybody is a mountain climber. We're pressing to high water. But because of trials and tribulation, it sometimes seems like when we're outside of the mountain trying to get home. But let me tell you something. We are also called trees of righteousness. And the trees on the mountain, they have stronger roots than the trees that's in the valley. We're on the mountain.
Come on.
We're not in the valley. All of God's people who are righteous were on mountains. Eagles are on mountains. Buzzards are in the valley. Zion is in the mountains. Babylonian bricks are in the valley. The people of God are on the brazen mountains. But the valley? Sometimes we are on that mountain and we forget about the valley. But don't be so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. Oh, there's a mountaintop experience, but there's a valley commitment. Go back down. Because there's some Babylonian bricks that need to change into stones. Sister, you don't look like a brick no more. You look like a stone. Amen. Been birds, you don't look like bricks no more. You look like stones. Babylonian brick. Chris, you don't look like a brick no more. You look like a stone. And don't turn to someone and say, they used to call you a brick here for real, didn't they? Look at what it says. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's pick it up. Verse 3, chapter 11. Now this is the first book of the Bible. Huh?
Amen.
Read.
And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone.
Whoa. There you go. You see that contrail? Watch this. They had brick for stone. I can sit down. I can sit down. They had brick for
stone.
Stone. When we find out how important stones are in the Bible, Jesus is a stone. The Bible said we are living stones. The Bible said the foundation is a stone. The Bible said the house that is built, must be built upon a stone. When we find out how important stone is, then we'll realize the Bible says don't build upon altars of brick. Build upon altars of stone. Why does it matter? Because the stone mountain is established by God. But a brick mountain or the Tower of Babel is a man-made mountain.
Right.
Now, if it's a man-made mountain, Tyrus, what does the Bible say in Isaiah 2 and verse 2? In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house. So if a mountain is the Lord's house, if the mountain is made up of brick, a Tower of Babel, that means you got your own religion, and it's built upon man's principles. It's built upon traditions of men, doctrines of devils, and dogma of religion. The bottom line is it makes a difference how you serve God. You can't just say, thank you, Jesus, and do what you want to do. God is not mocked with some man's sword. That shall also reap. I'm telling you how to do it. Practice a procedure. The Lord told Joshua when Moses died, listen, Joshua, I'll be with you the same way I've been with Moses.
That's what he told me.
Meditate in my law day and night, and thou shalt have
good success.
He didn't just say pray and do what you want to do. And it's all good. It's all good. Stones. Religion today is nothing but brick, brother. Continue to read.
And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone.
Read.
Slime had they for mortar.
That means of all the doctrines, this is spiritual. So if they had brick for stone, Let's pick it up in Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 43 and verse 9. Pick it up in verse 9. Jeremiah was called a weeping prophet for the sins of Israel. Read.
Take great stones in thy hand and hide them in the clay in the brickland, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house, in the Tapafans, in the sight of the men of Judah.
The Bible says, take the stone. And it said, hide it in the brick. Guess what, everybody? There are individuals who are looked upon by God as being stone. The Bible says we are living stones. But they're hid in brick. You know what that means? We're hid in man's religion. But God looks and he sees brick because we're worshiping contrary to thus saith the Lord.
Come on.
He sees brick because of who we're praying to in the confessional box. He sees brick because we're worshiping on a contrary day and the Lord said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. He sees brick because he says, sanctify the spirit, soul, and body. And we do what we want, we wear what we want. But the word of God says, wherefore the man cleanses himself, he's a vessel of honor. He's sanctified and useful to the master and prepared for every good work. But the Bible said there be stones as hid in brick, meaning I will not see them because they look like brick, because they worship like brick, because they act like brick, because they talk like brick, because they react to like situations like brick. But the Lord said, in them I see something valuable. It's like a diamond in the rough. And I believe that if I chisel at this brick, I'll find a living stone. Come on, say amen.
Come on.
And the way the Lord chisels at our brick, sometimes our backs are against the wall. Sometimes we're challenged with sickness. Sometimes we're choked in our mind. We've been doing it all night, but joy cometh in the morning. Sometimes we have to cry away a brick until the stone will appear. Living stone, brick is offensive to the Lord.
Make it plain.
Let's go back to Isaiah 65 and read it again. Let's pick it up in verse 3. Pick it up in verse 3, Isaiah 65.
A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face.
Read.
That sacrifices in gardens and burneth incense upon the
altar. That sacrifice in gardens. You know what gardens are? Gardens is the church. Read.
And burneth incense upon altars of brick.
Upon altars of what?
Brick.
Of brick. Now, the Bible makes mention that right after the flood, Nimrod had gathered a group of individuals to worship the Lord.
Come on.
The Bible calls him a mighty hunter. The Bible said he convinced everyone to build a mountain or a what tower that if it should rain again, hey, we'll be on this tower, it's good to go. Now, Nimrod had convinced them as a preacher that this is the way of salvation if it should rain again. They got ministers before people telling them this is the way of salvation. They've got ministers and religions that says if you do it this way, if judgment should fall, you'll be redeemed. It's called man-made religion. Since the Bible says that a mountain represents the house of the Lord, here's Nimrod that built a tower shaped like a mountain, but it was made of brick. And the Bible said they had brick for stone, and they built a tower. And if you step back and look at the Tower of Babel, it looked just like a mountain, but it wasn't made of stone. It was made of brick. And the Bible said they worshiped in upon altars of brick. They worshiped in houses like brick. They're standing upon a mountain of brick. They're seeking me out, and the brick represents something that was made by man and not by God. So if it's brick and it's not made And the Bible says your religion is what?
In vain.
Mark chapter 7. Let's pick it up at verse 7, verse 8. Mark chapter 7. Let's pick it up at verse 7. And verse 8. Read.
For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things
that ye do. Go ahead.
He said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God.
Strong.
That ye may keep your own tradition.
Read.
For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whomsoever curses father or mother, let him die the death.
Read.
But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother in his korban, that is to say a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be, what thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free.
Now, Jesus is saying, here you are talking about me, but you have offset the commandments of God. The fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. But you say if you go up to your mother or your father and you say korban, you can just take the house. But you say, well, listen, I'm taking your house, mom or dad, because I want to donate it to the church. But you being a priest, when you donate it to the church, you go and sign it off in your name. They hated Jesus. I said they hated Jesus.
Yeah, come on.
Am I right?
Yeah, come on.
Now, come on, walk with me in the scriptures. Here, we have a mountain that's made of brick. And a mountain represents what?
God's house.
God's house. But if you have a mountain made of brick, and it's a man-made house, what does that have to do with today's way of worship? All truth is founded on history. Are you with me?
Right.
That which was is now, that which to be is already, and God requires what is?
Past.
What is past? The Bible says something in Revelation chapter 17. Come on. Revelation chapter 17, let's pick up at verse 1. Revelation chapter 17.
And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither.
Revelation chapter 17.
Verse 1. Yes, sir.
Revelation chapter 17, and there came what? Yes, you're right. Go ahead.
I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many
waters. A woman represents religion, even like a mountain.
Come on.
Look what this woman is called. Let's pick it up at verse 5.
And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon,
come on,
the great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth.
And the Bible says that this woman had harlot daughters.
Come on.
So a woman and a church represent the same thing. But the Bible said the church is not teaching the truth. It's called Babylon. Watch this. Come on. Watch this. The Tower of Babel is today referred to as Babylon.
Uh-oh. Come on.
Nehemiah. The Tower of Babel is a byword of Babylon.
Make it plain.
The Bible said that, you know where I'm going, don't you? The Bible said that the Lord looked down and saw them building a man-made church to worship, a way by which they can find salvation if it should rain again or the judgment of God should come.
Come on.
And this Nimrod was nothing but a preacher of today. He was the first individual to be called an Antichrist. He was the first leader of Babylon, which today we know as popery.
Make it plain.
So looking at Nimrod, uh-huh, I say that Peter was not the first. Pope Nimrod was. them to build a man-made mountain and said, this will bring us salvation. And it was called Babel, but today it's called Babylon.
Make it
and the Bible says, come out of Babylon, my people. Be not partakers of the sins that you receive now. So Nimrod is building altars of brick, but ye are living stones by which ye serve God in spirit and in truth. Babylonian bricks, Zionist stones. 144,000, the Bible says, will stand on the top of Mount Zion. The Bible says Zion is the mother of us all. The Bible says in glory, there is a mountain called Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem that shall come down. And the Bible said, this will be glory coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. You are either a Zionist or a Babylonian. There's no dividing line. You're either a Zionist or you're a Babylonian. You're either a Zionist virgin in Revelation 12 or you're a Babylonian whore.
Look at that. Make it plain, Pastor.
You've got children and all you say need to know it. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 58, in verse 12, it said that God's going to raise repairs of the breach. Then in verse 13, it shows what's repaired. It talks about the Sabbath. Then in verse 14, it says, if you keep the Sabbath, then shall you rejoice in the Lord. That means you ain't got no business rejoicing in the Lord if you ain't not kept the Sabbath. That means back up, Sunday keeper, and worship and honor God on the Sabbath. Then you got something to shout about in Ebabab on Sunday.
Huh? Make it plain!
Are you saying it? Jesus said, thus said,
The Lord.
But don't get mad at the preacher. Don't shoot the mailman.
Hello.
The messenger is just bringing something that God said.
Come on.
This is a time that black and white got to come together. You think I'm talking about race, don't you? I'm talking about black, eating white paper.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm talking about black, eating white paper.
Come on.
Black and white come together to do this work of God. Joshua, the Bible says, oh, some man Ezekiel. I send you to a stiff-necked people. But don't you be afraid of them. I'll give you a forehead flint.
Come on now.
You go on and tell them. And drink from this cup. Take this bread and eat it. And don't be rebellious like those rebellious people, Ezekiel. And then he said, listen. They're not of a hard speech. They're of an understandable language. Teach them the truth. Do you know what the Bible teaches that language in the spiritual realm is? Language in the Bible means doctrine. Are you with me?
Yes.
Language in the Bible means doctrine. So when the Bible says Israel is not of a hard language, if you tell them what I told you to tell them, eat this book, Ezekiel, it'll taste like honey. There's somebody else that ate a book that tastes like honey in Revelation chapter 10.
Come on.
But the Bible said, oh, Ezekiel, eat this book and tell them the truth. They're not of a hard language. Now, wait a minute. Ezekiel spoke Hebrew.
That's right.
The Israelite people spoke Hebrew. He wasn't talking about a language. He was talking about truth. Ezekiel, they'll understand what you're talking about when you mention the word sanctuary. They'll know that it is a type. Ezekiel, tell them they got to live holy and keep the Sabbath. They'll understand what you're talking about. Ezekiel, break it down and they'll know what you're saying, because what you're saying are different to truth that they are familiar with. They're familiar with the language of truth. So, truth and language are what?
One and the same.
So when what? So when what? So when the Lord came down.
So gorgeous.
So when the Lord came down.
Uh-huh.
Come on, are you with me?
We listening.
Stand up here with me. Here. Stand up here with me. The Bible said God and the Father looked down upon that mountain. And the Bible said that God said, let us go
down
and see what they're doing.
That's what the Bible said.
They didn't build a man-made mountain.
Come on now.
They're worshiping on Sunday.
Come on now.
They're looking to Nimrod for salvation, because he says, in the rains again. We got this mountain. We got the time to stand on. It's all good.
Lying like bandits. Lying like bandits. Lying like a bandit.
But if you're not preaching the truth, I don't care how long you pray, and how long you shout, and how long you
make
dance.
It plain, Pastor.
I want to ask y'all a question. Give me a minute. I want to ask y'all a question.
Uh-huh.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Go ahead. We're talking about today. Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
I like to go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm going to show you that method means something.
Yes, it does.
Instruction means something. Procedure means something.
Yes.
Jesus, he was standing on the top of Mount Olive. He saw 900 of his disciples. And he says, go into the upper room till you be endued with power from on high. And you know what he said? He said, tarry.
That's what he said.
You know what tarry means?
Chill.
It means wait on the Lord.
Be still.
The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 40, in the last few verses, wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You should run and not be weary. You should walk and not faint. Makes mention that those 500 went into the upper room. And the Lord didn't say 10 days. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's what I've done. The Lord just said, tarry and wait. If they had known what the feast days were in typology, they would have known.
Stay up
there. Oh. You're only going to have to wait for 10 days. After 1 or 2 days, some people, I'm tired of it.
I'm gone.
After 4 or 5 days, Johnny, come on. Your husband, like, what you doing? Talking about marriages, but husband, be strong. Wife, be strong. Children, be strong. 380 what?
Left.
How many were up?
120.
There's something about 120. You know why? There's something about 120.
Because you got
times 20.
40 means to be tried. 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus. 40 years in the wilderness, Moses. 3 means complete. 40 adds up to 120.
Abraham was 120 years old. He was about to kill Isaac. Noah preached for 120
years.
There were 120 in the
upper room.
Now, I close with this. Titus, those were believers.
Right.
And you know what they did? They got down from the upper room. But did you know what? That was the same upper room that Jesus had prayed in.
Uh-oh.
30 days later. And they were 12 in the upper room, Carmen. And one left. And the Bible said when he left the upper room, Satan entered into him. When 380 left the upper room, Satan entered into them. The Bible says the evil heart of unbelief, you will not enter into my rest. Now, says, oh, you know what they did? You know what they did, Shamari? They went to their houses, Shamari. Watch me now. Come on, Joshua. Hungry cow. They went to their houses. They were still believers, bro. They went to their houses and they were praying.
Yep.
They went to their houses and they were fasting.
Yep.
They went to their houses. Hallelujah. I can praise the Lord at home. Where I can have the licenses and the company. It's hotter than all those people going home. Hallelujah! The Lord said, go to the upper room and tell it to him in due with power. Oh, and when the Lord sent the Spirit of power.
Oh,
Holy Ghost wonders. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Let our downwards engine of the universe begin to churn up some spiritual power. Are you with me?
Come on!
The mighty rushing wind of the Spirit of God came down. They heard it before they doubted.
Come on.
And this is the thing that scares me. Are you with me?
Come on.
What's this, Carmen? There were people that were praying in their houses. And they were praying tougher than some in the upper room. They were fasting tougher than some in the upper room. Somewhere in their houses. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. They weren't doing it in the upper room. But when the Holy Ghost came down, passed by the first shout. Pass by out of foot praying. Pass by every house. Because the Lord said, I'm going to the upper room. I'm going to the upper room. I'm going to the upper room. Tell me that. Come on, say amen.
That's
remember the Sabbath day, say amen.
That's
give to God in the name of Jesus, say amen.
That's
the way that's seeming right unto a man. Unto the end thereof on the days of man. The Bible said, wrestling with the scriptures, with your own destruction and damnation. The Holy Ghost pass by. Pass by. Pass by. Kabam.
Upper room. 120.
You could have been in the upper room doing this.
Sweet.
And received that Holy Ghost.
Received the Holy Ghost. That would have opened up.
The people in the house could have been doing this.
Nothing.
And the Lord said, see that knucklehead sleeping?
Wake him up
and fill
him. Wake him up.
Come on, say it.
Wake him up.
Wake him up and fill him. Wake him up and fill him. Obedience is better than
sacrifice.
The name of is Babel. The name of the church is Babylon. They worship in the tower made with bricks on Sunday. They worship in the mountain on this side.
Look at that.
Nimrod, they listen to and not to God. Those on the mountain have no God on their mouth and the mouth of the Lamb.
Wheresoever
he goes. You gotta have a mountaintop experience, but you gotta be on the right mountain. And bring this to the Lord.
And let his name be praised forever. So what happened when we looked up?
What happened? We looked down.
Uh-huh.
We looked down.
Uh-huh.
The Lord said, and they said, hey,
what they doing?
What they doing? And the Bible says, let us go down. Who went down? The Father
and the Son.
And confuse their languages. What does language mean in the Bible?
Doctrine.
Confuse their doctrine.
That's what's happening right now.
No, y'all know
confused
doctrines
all these Sundays.
The reason why the Sunday church is called Babylon is because their doctrine
is
confused.
Yes, it is.
Denise,
I love it.
I talked to Tyrus. I heard you're about to get your doctor's degree. Give her a hearty
amen.
Oh, she has it already? About to get it, just a few days. Give her a hearty amen.
Hey!
But do you know, I mentioned that to say this. You have a person that has their doctorate degree in the Catholic Church, a doctorate degree in a Baptist Church, a doctorate degree in a Methodist Church.
Uh-oh.
I think you're getting your doctorate with education. Amen. And you know, when that person has a doctorate, it's up in the speak. Sister Martin, come on up. They're a doctorate in the Methodist Church. He's a doctor in the Presbyterian Church. He's a doctor in the, and he has his real doctor.
Yes.
From a regionally accredited college.
That's right.
That's recognized.
Right.
And when that Catholic, with his doctrine, that Methodist, with his doctrine, that Lutheran, with his doctrine, get up to speak, we listen because he has his
doctrine.
But this is above
doctrine.
Every doctrine. Of man. And it is the
Bible,
word of God.
Oh,
Christ is all.
She was a little girl. And what did she say? Little Summer came up to her mother and said, "Mom, the Lord said he stands at the door and knock. And serve the Lord for he's knocking at your door." Peter ran to Sister Orr, her mother, crying crocodile tears. You know what Summer said to me? "I stand at the door and knock." I've been knowing her since she's been her age. Isn't she lovely?
Amen. Yes.
But I'm telling you something. She's not just lovely outside, pretty, but she's lovely inside.
Amen.
Let us pray for the youth. Let's pray for the young. Let's pray for the children. Amen. The word of God says, "I did find thy word and I did eat it, and it was sweet like a honeycomb."
Yes,
Lord. Oh, Father, we don't want Babylonian brick, but we want Zionist stones. May we be, as scripture says, living stones to you.
Yes, Lord.
And may we stand upon that foundation, Jesus. That's a living stone. And when everything is said and done, the last grains of sand runs out of the hourglass. The incense is finished and throws the central on the floor and says it's finished. May I call in an election. Be sure that we are Zionist stones and we shall shout in that day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. With the spirit of adoption, we cry, "Abba, Daddy, Father."
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Yeshua, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That's the word.
Amen.
Okay, you better learn to pray.
Amen.
You better learn to pray.